The Random Jottings of Hinge and Brackett with Dr. Evadne Hinge and Dame Hilda Brackett. With friends and neighbors at Stacton Trestle, Daphne Hurd, David Griffin, and Anthony Sharp. The Blenkinsop Bequest.
It's now a good many years since Evadne and I moved into the old manse in Stacton Trestle, and we settled down to our quiet village life. Well, when I say quiet, it isn't always quiet, not by any manner of means. For one thing, you see, the boundary line between the two parishes of Stacton Trestle and Stacton Parva runs right through the middle of our sitting room. Why, yes. This is a little inconvenient on Ascension days, when the parish officers and the clergy come beating the bounds with their little willow wands. But on the other hand, it does have its little compensations. After all, 20 or 30 men with willow wands can beat an awful lot of dust out of the back of an old settee. Apart from this, there are many things to occupy and divert us, which is why I have recently taken to jotting in a little exercise book a record of our day-to-day life here. Now, not many weeks ago, for example, I received a letter which was to result in us embarking on an entirely new venture, a venture towards which I knew Evadne would have to be most carefully coaxed. I say, Evadne, you remember the old music emporium in the High Street, don't you?
Yes.
We used to enjoy popping in there at one time, didn't we?
Yes.
Such a pity when it closed.
Yes.
You're not very talkative this morning, now.
Hilda, I know very well that when you receive a solicitor's letter, read it and then put it straight into your handbag, you are up to something.
Oh, and the letter, dear, yes. So you saw it, did you? I was coming to that.
Mm-hmm, I was rather afraid you were. And I can tell by your tone of voice, Hilda, it is bad news.
Oh, no, dear, no, it isn't at all. It's lovely news. You remember old Miss Blenkinsop? Well, of course you do.
Yeah.
Oh, don't start that all over again, dear. You know, you really are quite insufferable when you're in one of your monosyllabic moods.
Hilda, ever since you took to writing secretively in that little book of yours, you've been using longer and longer words. What are you writing there, a dictionary?
Now, I'm not, as you know full well, and I do not do it secretively.
Very well, if you prefer it furtively.
I see nothing furtive about sitting at a gate-leg table jotting.
Nonsense, Hilda. Every time I come into the room, you flush, you look guilty, and you'll shove your little book under something. One of these days, you're going to forget where you shoved it.
That's very sneaky, that man.
I know it is, just what I'm saying.
No, dear, I don't mean me, I mean you.
I don't jot, dear, secretively, furtively, or in any other way. I do not jot. If I'm going to write, I write.
Oh, don't think I don't know what you've done, dear. You've changed the subject, haven't you? Now, let's get back to Miss Blenkinsop, shall we?
It's not going to be easy, dear. She's been dead 6 months.
Well, that is precisely the point, dear. You see, her will has just been proved, and we, that is you and I, are the beneficiaries.
You mean she's actually left us money, Hilda?
Well, no, dear, not money.
Oh, wait a moment. Not that revoltingly self-satisfied blue Persian cat of hers. The one that used to sit in her gatepost and smirk.
Oh, no. No, not Mr. Lavender Trousers.
Then what?
She has left us her music emporium.
She has left that to us.
Yes, isn't that nice of her? You know, she really was a very nice little woman, despite what we used to say about her.
She was overbearing and self-opinionated.
Well, she had her little faults, of course.
I was never particularly struck.
Oh, well, no, I know that now. And I do appreciate why. It dates from that week she spent as guest music critic on the Stacton Bugle, doesn't it?
Yes.
I thought so. When she wrote of you, Dr. Evadne Hinge wields a baton as the rest of us might hold sticks of celery.
The woman was a fool.
Well, I never know why you took it so to heart, dear. I mean, she only meant that the baton looked as natural in your hand as a stick of celery might in anybody else's.
Yes.
It was a compliment, you see. I think.
If it was expressed with singular ineptitude, Hilda.
Still, she thought very highly of you, you know.
Did she now?
Oh, yes. Even though she didn't let on. I mean, in the will, dear. Now, just listen to this. Yes, there we are. They are two people of culture and refinement, and the only two to whom I would trust my treasures. And one of them is you, and the other one's me, of course. You see, Verdi, she really was a very nice woman deep down. Of course, the Emporium has been closed for absolute ages now. Could be such an asset to Stacton, you know, in the right hands.
You're not seriously considering reopening the place?
Well, I am, dear, yes. It's a condition of the bequest, you see. That it shall be reopened, retained in its present form, part shop, part museum, and that it shall be run in perpetuity by us and our heirs or successors.
I knew there'd be a catch. That woman's only saving grace was her crab-apple jelly. We shall just have to say no.
Oh, that will be most ungracious, Evadne. After all, the last wishes of the departed must surely be respected.
And what of the wishes of the living, especially those sitting opposite you at this very moment, dear?
Oh, don't be hard up by that. You know I always respect your wishes.
Well, that's settled, then. We're not having it.
Now, in that,
Hilda, think of the cost.
Oh, Miss Blenkinsop thought of that. There's a little endowment fund to cover the cost of running it, dear.
Then think of the time involved. We'd have to be there every day, 6 days a week.
Oh, I'm sure Maud will always help out.
Maud? In a music emporium? I'd think twice before I'd employ that woman in a breaker's yard.
No, no. Well, let us at least go and have a little look at it.
It would serve no purpose.
Could do no harm. Just to go and have a little look at it with completely open minds, of course.
I'm not so sure.
Oh, go on, dear, just to please me.
Oh, very well, then.
Evadne, I can see by the look on your face that your mind is not open. You must try now.
Hilda, it is not my mind alone that is supposed to be open.
Mine is completely open.
Is it?
You'll see. I shall enter that emporium unclouded by prejudice, open to argument, willing to weigh the evidence and eager to examine the facts.
And determined to take it.
Well, that's better than being determined not to. At least I'm being constructive.
Now, Hilda...
Shh, that must be Maud.
Maud.
We don't want her to find us arguing, dear. It upsets her. Well, you know how she hates to think of you picking on me.
Good morning, Dame Hilda. Doctor.
Hello, Maud.
Good morning, Maud.
I picked up your milk off the step, Dame Hilda.
Oh, thank you very much, dear.
I'll pop out in a minute and sweep up the broken glass.
Well, don't use the vacuum cleaner this time, Maud. It strips all the bristles off the brush.
Oh, and did you remember to bring that jar of honey from the shop, dear?
Oh, yes, I did, Dame Hilda. I'll sweep that up at the same time.
Well, that step sounds as if it's rather deep in broken glass this morning, Maud.
Yes, and flowing with milk and honey.
Well, I had a bit of trouble getting me key in that lock of yours. I think it's dropped again.
Onto the step, presumably.
I asked my Tom to come round and have a look at it. He can mend the fanlight while he's here.
The fanlight, dear? But there's nothing wrong with the fanlight.
There is now. You see, I was struggling to get me key in the lock and the fanlight over the door fell open and one hinge got broke. It's hanging half off. As a matter of fact, it was while I was trying to close it that the broom handle went through that little window in the orchard.
You see, Dad, if we hadn't been arguing, we would have heard all this and we might have been able to salvage something.
One thing I don't quite understand, Maud. If you have the broom there, why didn't you sweep up the broken glass off the step straight away?
They don't make broom handles like they did. Still, no real harm done, eh? My Tom will soon have it all right.
It's a wonder your son finds time to do all the work you managed to get him, Maud.
He'll not expect no payment, Doctor, if that's what you're suggesting. Though I dare say Dame Hilda'll see he's not out of pocket.
Yes, of course I will, Maud. Now, you, dear, you must surely remember the old music emporium in the High Street very well.
Well, that dirty old hole.
My sentiments
mind in the right hands, Dame Hilda. It could be lovely.
Precisely, now. As a matter of fact, we're going down there this morning to have a look round, aren't we, Daphne?
Yes, dear. Just to have a look round.
If you like, I ring up my Tom and get him to run you down the High Street.
That would be very nice, Maud, and we could pick up the key on the way.
He was under his new car with his father when I left him, but I expect they've got the bottom back in by now.
No. It's another new old car, is it, Maud?
No, it's not, Doctor. It's another old new one. But if it's not good enough...
No, Maud, no. The doctor and I will be delighted. And you know where the telephone is, dear.
Oh, I'll not be a minute, Dagmara.
You know, I've just had a thought of that, Nib. Perhaps young Tom could unlock for us every morning and mind it for us when we're not there.
Open minds, eh, Hilda?
Say that, Nib. You must face up to the possibility that we shall open that door, step over the threshold, take one look and say, this is us. Well, we might, dear. Might.
We might.
And so later that morning, Tom arrived to collect us, and Evadne and I rattled down the High Street. Well, when I say rattled, I don't mean we went particularly quickly. We just rattled. I think Tom's latest car was really a reject from a scrapyard. It was awfully sweet of him to take it off their hands, you know. But like so many people, he considered a thing a wreck only if it belonged to somebody else. As the Emporium did, for example.
God, is this it?
This is it, Tom, dear.
Blimey, Dave. The only thing keeping it up is the verdigris. And you've got dry rot in them window frames, and the brickwork needs repointing, preferably towards Mecca.
What, the?
I mean, the place looks as if it needs praying for.
What are you smiling at, Evadne?
I'm not smiling.
You were?
I was not.
Well, if you weren't smiling, Evadne, you should go and see a specialist. You've developed a very nasty little twitch at the corners of your mouth.
Well, here goes. Stand back, ladies. The vibration might bring the old place down.
Yeah. Like,
I thought the place would have been empty. The old girl must have left all her stuff here. There's more white sheets here than a Ku Klux Klan convention.
And everyone hiding a treasure, I'll be bound.
Shoot!
Well, it's not that dusty, then. I've never known anyone who could make a sneeze sound so like criticism.
Then stop. Then stop stirring the dust, Hilda. Calm down. Move slowly. Lift corners and peep. Don't pull. You're behaving like a manic ward sister on bed linen day.
I say, just look at this lovely pile of old music. Oh, and there's the piano through there in the back. Take the dust sheet off it, Tom, dear, and let's try the acoustics.
Here. Watch you don't fetch the ceiling down, Dame.
Tom, dear, you're being a bit of a wet blanket. And you, Evadne, should have flu injections.
I did have flu injections, dear. I should have had them for silicosis.
Oh, don't be so silly. Now, why not try the piano, dear?
It could do.
Come on, it looks a beauty.
It looks all right.
Well, try it.
Very well.
Now, there, it's absolutely beautiful.
It's not bad.
Oh, it's wonderful, dear. Honestly, it is. You've never sounded better.
Hilda, you would like it if it sounded like a hurdy-gurdy played by a monkey.
Well, that's just where you're wrong, dear, because it doesn't. Not a bit. Now, let's try something, something from the pile here. Let's see, what have we got? Sign the pledge for mother's sake.
Sounds a bit dry. Yeah.
What about I've got the Uperzootic? No, I don't think so. Or Ode to a Pansy.
Definitely not.
Oh, here we are. May morning. Looks to have a lovely, happy feeling. We could breathe a bit of life back into the old place, albeit only briefly.
Don't try to play on my feelings, Hilda.
Oh, I'd never dream of trying to play on anything of yours, dear. You know that.
I say, Hilda, you know, the music for this song was written by Luigi Denza. Remember, he wrote a Funiculi Funicula.
Well, I don't think we should hold that against him, dear.
Come out, come out, my dearest dear. Come out and greet the sun. Come out, awake on tree and break. The many days begun. Come out and bring the diamond dew. Come out and tread the knee. The world is all awake and new. And you are all the world to me. Put on your gown of dainty white. Put on your body's blue. For I've been waiting all the night to greet the day with you. And every tree is white with storm. The village blithe and gay. Come out, come out, this happy ball. And be our queen, and be our queen of May. For white throats sing the moon is late, and I am singing too. For morning's early evening late, my heart is all for you. My sun shall blossom at your feet, my heart your throne shall be. For you are queen of famous feet, and all the world, and all the world to me. Come out, come out.
Don't half know how to belt a song, Dame.
Thank you, Tom. I think that was a compliment.
Well, at least you've left the entire street in no doubt that you've just come out.
Well, I'll say this for you, Doctor. You've got a light touch.
Oh.
You've not brought one single bit of plaster off the walls, and the ceiling's still up.
Don't say things like that, Tom. She's never happy unless she's brought the house down, now are you, dear?
Now, don't try to humour me,
Hilda. Is that you're in an impossible mood? I've taken you into Aladdin's cave and you simply refuse to rub your lamp.
Now, Hilda, do be practical.
Well, if you'll excuse me, ladies, I'll go and poke about a little.
Do I?
See if I can get some idea of what you might need doing to the place.
Good idea, Tom. Sure it can't be very much.
Won't be long, ladies.
Well, Evadne.
Well, what, dear?
Doesn't this place do something for you?
Yes, it makes me sneeze.
No, now do stop it, dear. You'll rupture a blood vessel in your nose and people will think you've taken to drink. Now, look. Evadne, listen to that.
To what, dear?
That tinkling. It's Miss Blenkinsop's little tinkle. We always used to hear it in our sitting room, remember?
It's a wind chime, Hilda. She had them everywhere.
Well, I know that, dear, but it's very funny the way that one in her sitting room always tinkled when Miss Blenkinsop was displeased, even when there wasn't any wind. I think Miss Blenkinsop is making her presence felt here, willing us to save her emporium. Listen. She's tinkling again.
Yes, I don't think she would be, Hilda, though, if you weren't waving a score of the dancing years in front of her child.
I haven't waved anything there. Miss Blenkinsop was tinkling all on her own. She's a very determined woman. Well, she was. And I'd not like to upset her, even in death. No, dear, no. There's definitely a presence. There it goes again, you see. And I was nowhere near it that time.
Hello, hello.
Well, I don't care what you say, Hilda. That is not Miss Blenkinsop. She was a base.
No, dear, it's Major Durrenforth. How nice to see you, Major.
Good morning, ladies.
Good morning. And what brings you this way, Major?
I've been out buying baubles for Lorna. It's her birthday next week, you see. And we've got the decorators in.
Well, that doesn't sound much of a treat, dear.
Pure unfortunate coincidence, that, I'm afraid. Usual thing. Come for a week, stay for a month. And we'll have to redo it all as soon as they've gone.
It's a difficult time, one of life's great trials.
Well, they've got such definite ideas these days, don't you find? I mean, you just take the drawing room. Now, Lorna and I want a duck egg blue and white and a rather nice Regency stripe. Could we get it? Not on your life. Know what we got? Avocado and bamboo. Wild old wallpaper that makes it look like a dugout in the Burma campaign. With all vivid green fronds and big exotic birds. And a mess. We were going to put dust sheets down, of course. But he said, oh, we won't need dust sheets. We won't make a mess. As a matter of fact, I've just ordered new carpets. I was passing and glimpsed you through the muck on that window. Now, what brings you two here?
Well, now, Major, you are a sensible man.
Evadne, let me tell the Major. After all, the solicitor's letter was addressed to me.
Very well, just as you wish, Hilda. But please remember, dear, I am listening.
You see, Major, in a nutshell, Evadne and I have been bequeathed the Emporium on condition that we reopen it and run it as a shop-cum-museum. But Evadne's worried about the responsibility and the work involved, aren't you, dear?
Among other things.
Yes, well, you just keep your other things to yourself for the time being.
I see. So you want me to make the judgment of Solomon, is that it?
Well, thought so.
I wish I hadn't come in. The point is it worthwhile preserving? I mean, is there much interesting stuff here?
Well, Major, just take a look round you. I mean, so many lovely things. We've got gramophones, musical instruments, and the entire ring cycle on 78s.
Mm. It would certainly present a challenge to a shoplifter.
All these pictures of so many wonderful people. And look here. You see this square of velvet cut from the house tabs at the old Metropolitan Opera House in New York.
Mm, presumably by some opera-loving vandal.
Evadne, you really must give me a chance. Now, come here and sit on this chair.
Why? What have you done to it?
Just sit on it. There. Now, read the label, Major.
On this wicker chair, Madame Kirsten Flagstock once sat while trying to get her breath back as Brunhilde.
There you are. Now in touch with a great moment of musical history.
Mm. And I've got to the bottom of Brunhilde at last, eh, Hilda?
You see, this place really does have the most wonderful atmosphere. I mean, even Evadne's beginning to enjoy herself, aren't you, dear?
Good heavens, what's that? A clog dancing poltergeist?
There'll be a Tom testing the floor above. He's checking the place structurally. That's Maud Sun, Major.
Well, let's hope he can stand up to it.
Oh, he's all right. She is the demolition expert.
I say, Evadne, just look.
What, dear?
Over here, just look what I found.
A harp.
I would have thought Miss Blenkinsop would have had more use for that than you two. I wonder she didn't take it with her.
Evadne, this is not just any harp. Look at the initials. M.D.
Yes?
Well, don't be so obtuse. A harp bearing the initials M.D. What could that possibly stand for?
Musical director?
Oh, no, dear.
The Merthyr Tydfil Dairy Company. Well, their emblem is probably a harp.
Oh, no, I don't think so, dear. Now, I'm sure it would be a hazard on top of a milk float. No. There is only one possibility. Mary Dale.
Mary Dale? Is that anywhere near Darley Dale?
No, Major. Mrs. Dale's diary, remember? I'm very worried about Jim. Oh, damn, I've broken my nail.
You should drink more milk, Hilda. You've obviously got a calcium deficiency, dear. Quite apart from anything else.
To think that twice a day, every day for all those years, that wonderful Mrs. Dale sat in front of this very instrument poised to glist.
I do think you are jumping to conclusions here. For one thing, we don't know it was Mrs. Dale.
Oh, but we do, dear. You see, because the label clearly says so. Ex-BBC sold at a charity auction.
Well, even if it were, even if it were, Mrs. Dale would never have played the music live. It would have been pre-recorded.
Oh, stuff and nonsense, Evadne. Of course it was live. You could definitely hear her breathing. Oh, Tom, dear, you're back. What's the rest of the place look like, then?
No problems, ladies. Not bad at all. I could easily do the work myself, Dame. And I think I know where I can lay my hands on most of the materials. It's a chap building a new house for himself on the corner by the garage. Now, if I play my cards right, I should be able to get a bit of cement off him. Should be able to get a bit of plaster off him and all. And when he gets to putting in his windows, well, I should be able to get a bit of glass. Now, what else? Oh, yeah. I'll definitely be able to get some bricks off him.
Did you say he was building a house, Tom?
Yes, Doctor.
It rather sounds as though he's going to have to live in a bungalow.
Well, Evadne, what are we going to do then about Miss Blenkinsop's bequest?
Well, I must admit, Hilda, it's really rather exciting, isn't it?
And Tom will help, and the Major will help.
You can certainly rely on us.
You bet.
Then you seem rather successfully to have routed the opposition, don't you, Hilda?
Then you agree. We shall accept it, and we shall reopen it.
Yes, dear. I agree.
There, Evadne, listen. Listen. Miss Blenkinsop's tinkling again. You see, you've just made her very happy.
I thought she tinkled when she was displeased, Hilda.
Well, she does, dear, yes, but in quite a different way. So that's settled, then. We can all go home.
Hilda, what are you doing with that harp?
Taking it with me, dear.
What?
I daren't leave it here. Somebody might buy it.
Ah, Maud.
I didn't as much as touch that window, Doctor. It fell out on its own.
Don't worry, Maud, dear. Tom knows where to get a new window frame, I'm sure.
You know, Tom, it rather sounds as if that friend of yours is going to have to make do with a very dark bungalow.
Was the Blenkinsop Bequest, the first of our extracts from the random jottings of Hinge and Brackett. To assist Dr. Evadne Hinge and Dame Hilda Brackett, we welcome Daphne Hurd, David Griffin, and Anthony Sharp. Our thanks also to the members of the Stacton Trestle Music Appreciation Society for their contribution. The script was by Del Frau and production by John Douglas.